May this year be abundant with divine blessings and precious opportunities to serve, to remember Krishna, to love Krishna, and to spread that love everywhere. Where we are sitting within the Ranganath temple, it was in this very place that Sripad Ramanujacharya, Vedanta Desika, and the great acharyas of the Sri Sampradaya would give katas or lectures. And dozens, sometimes hundreds, sometimes thousands of people would come to hear. And it was in this very place that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years ago danced in ecstasy and attracted hundreds and thousands of people to come to his kirtan, chanting the holy names. Could everyone hear? Bhakti Lata, can you hear? Okay. Gorvati? Sanjamali Maharaj? Vishaka Priya Devi? Yesterday we discussed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu beginning his South Indian tour. After taking the permission and the blessings of all of his loving devotees, wherever he went along the paths, he was chanting the Lord's holy names. And by his compassion, by his genuine love and concern to liberate the souls of the suffering people, and to give them the taste of pure love for God, he induced them to chant as well. If we actually taste even a single drop from the unlimited ocean of love of God, it is so overwhelmingly ecstatic that every person we see, we spontaneously, urgently feel the need to share it with them. When such a devotee sees people with effervescent smiles on their faces, enjoying the youthful pleasures of material life, they are not envious. Rather, they feel they have so little. And even that little thing that they have in the form of material happiness is going to perish like a cloud in due course of time. A great Vaishnava poet explained that the pleasures in this world, and there are pleasures, are like trying to enjoy a drop of water when you are starving in a vast desert. The water gives a little quench to your thirst, but it's gone and only increases your need for more. But spiritual satisfaction is like an unlimited reservoir of pure, fresh, nectarine water that we can drink forever. It completely satisfies us. But although it completely satisfies us, it tastes so good. We want to keep drinking more and more and more. And unlike the water in this world with our material bodies, we can drink unlimitedly in our spiritual bodies forever. Spiritual satisfaction completely fulfills all desires And yet that satisfaction is ever increasing. So when a devotee sees someone suffering in this world or enjoying in this world, they feel compassion. What I have been given, let me share it. Whether they accept or not, at least let me try on Krishna's behalf. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna who has come to taste the sweetness of Sri Radha's love. The complete whole of all compassion is the heart of Srimati Radharani. Lord Gauranga, when he was dancing along the footpaths on his tour of South India, every person he was seeing, it was Sri Radha's infinite compassion, so concerned. The Supreme Mother, the Supreme Father, the Supreme Friend, the Supreme Lover of everyone, intimately connected. For us, when we see a large crowd of people, sometimes it's just a crowd. But for the Lord, every living entity in all material and spiritual worlds, the Lord sees intimately, personally, almost as if that soul is the only soul that exists. When Krishna danced with gopis, he danced with each gopi, and each gopi was thinking, he's only with me. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Sri Jagannath Puri doing kirtan, there were devotees all around him in a circle, dancing and chanting, and sometimes they would feel, Lord Chaitanya, although there's so many thousands and thousands of devotees, he's only looking at me. It's not that they became proud that I must be better than all others. Rather, they were humbled. He's so kind. He's so merciful. This is the power of Krishna's love, of Sri Radha's love. It is all-encompassing, it is intimate, and it is personal for everyone, for all unlimited beings. Countless jivatmas, and in the spiritual world, everyone feels themselves so very intimately special to Krishna. And factually, even in this material world, every jivatma, every spirit soul is so intimately connected with Krishna. And Krishna is like that to all of us. But in the material world, we forget it. We are so preoccupied that we don't appreciate it. Like those two birds in the tree explained in the Upanishads. Krishna's just waiting for us to look in his direction so he can shower upon us profuse intimate love forever. But we are so distracted, struggling so hard, birth after birth after birth, puna punas charavata charavananam, trying to somehow or other taste the sweet and bitter fruits of temporary pleasure. What we have had, birth after birth and a birth. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of his love, out of his genuine compassion, he was dancing so beautifully to attract people's hearts, singing the holy name so loudly to awaken their souls. Jeev jago, jeev jago, gaura chandra pole, kota nidra jayo maya pisa chira kole. Wake up, sleeping souls. You are sleeping in the lap of the witch of Maya. Chant the names of Hari. Sometimes you're also uncontrollable. Just ask the managers of the yatra. Hmm. And when anybody would accept that causeless mercy, a mercy they did not deserve, it's like a beggar who's laying in the footpath and you come up and give him 1,000 crores of rupees and more. What did that person deserve to have it? Lord Chaitanya, just out of his causeless mercy, is giving ecstatic love to everyone through the holy name. And if anyone accepts it, he feels so indebted to that person that he embraces them with tears in his eyes. And from his heart of hearts, he is thanking us for accepting. This is what it means when we say God is great. He came to the house of the Kurma Brahman, where he taught you don't have to change your situation, your occupation, your social position. All you have to do is change your heart by chanting God's names and honestly, according to our capacity, just trying to serve others by sharing Krishna's message through our life, and through our words, and through our prayers. And Vasudev the leper was embraced by the Lord and given perfect health, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the explanation of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, it is said that he went everywhere. Practically every temple, every holy place in all of South India, and there are so many. He says, I cannot describe them all. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, I am trying, according to what I have heard from Raghunath Das Goswami, who heard from Swarup Damodar Goswami, from Kala Krishnadas, from Govinda, and according to what Lord Nityananda is revealing to me within my heart, I'm explaining what I can. It is not necessarily in chronological order. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is begging forgiveness from all of his readers for all he's unable to say. He describes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming to Vishakhapatnam. There, he climbed the mountain of Singhachalam to the temple of Jiyada Narasingha. Very ancient temple. Temple of Varaha Narasingha. Long ago, according to the temple story, Hiranyakashipu threw Prahlad in the ocean close to that place, and they wanted to crush him with a mountain. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared and saved Prahlad. Afterward, after Hiranyakashipu was liberated, Prahlad Maharaj came back to that place to worship the Lord, and the Murti of Narasingadev appeared to him. Prahlad personally worshipped him. But it is said that that Lord was so angry upon Hiranyakashipu's offenses to Prahlad and upon the offenses that all people do to devotees that they cover him with chandan, sandalwood paste, large quantities, more and more every day to keep him cool. And if you go, it's like a big Shiva Lingam of sandalwood mixed with saffron and camphor. And they take off the sandalwood once a year. It's like in a mountain of sandalwood. And once a year on an Ekadasi, you can actually have direct darshan of the deity. But there are hundreds and thousands of people that come on that day. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and danced before Lord Narasimhadev. He chanted beautiful prayers. Sri Narasimha, Jai Narasimha, Jai Jai Sri Narasimhadev. Praladesha Jayapatma Mukhapatma Parinda. That was one of the prayers that is recorded in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he prayed, "My Lord, you are like a lioness, a mother lion. The nature of a mother lion is she's so highly protective of her little cubs. And if anything or anyone comes to harm her little cub, the mother lion becomes the most ferocious beast anywhere in the world. Absolutely ferocious, fearless, courageous. She will tear apart anything and anyone that comes to disturb her little calf. But for the cub, it's very gentle, very sweet and loving. In the same way, the Supreme Lord was the most ferocious personality to Hiranyakashipu, but was so gentle, kind and loving to little Prahlad. He danced, he chanted, attracted thousands of people to do so as well. Then continued his journey, where he came to Vidyanagar. He remembered the words of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya: "When you go to this place, meet with Srila Ramananda Rai." Previously I knew him, but because I did not achieve your mercy at that time, I could not recognize or understand his glory. But now that I have been touched with your mercy and I understand what pure bhakti is, I know that there is no one like Ramananda Rai. The extent of his knowledge, his realization, and his love, you will take great pleasure in meeting him, and he will take great pleasure in meeting you. The Lord promised, "I will meet Ramananda Rai." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the banks of the Godavari River. He saw in the Godavari the river Yamuna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was seeing Vrindavan everywhere. In ecstasy, he looked upon the river Yamuna. And on the banks of the Godavari, there were forests, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was seeing the forests of Vrindavan. In such a state of spiritual trance, he crossed the river to the other side, a place called Kovur, and sat. After taking bath in the river, he sat a little distance away in a small forest and waited. At that time, there was a procession, and being carried on a palanquin, surrounded by Brahmins chanting Vedic mantras, was the governor of the whole province, the agent of Maharaj Prataparudra, Srila Ramananda Rai, dressed very elegantly. He took his bath. Lord Chaitanya, his mind was running to embrace Ramananda Rai, but he kept very patient. When Ramananda Rai finished his bath, he happened to see an incredible, beautiful, soft effulgent. And the source of that was this beautiful form of a golden complexion, sannyasi. Srila Ramananda Rai approached him and offered his dandavat pranams, his prostrated obeisances. Lord Chaitanya asked him what his name was. He said, I am the lowest, most sinful, fallen Shudra named Ramananda Rai. When Lord Chaitanya heard that, he picked him up, embraced. As they embraced each other, tears were pouring from their eyes, their hairs were standing on limb on end. There were horripilations all over the body, trembling. They were faltering their voice. All they could say was with choked throats, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Then they both fell down to the ground. Ramananda Rai is the Gopi Vishaka, one of the most intimate expansions and closest friends of Srimati Radharani, and Sri Krishna Chaitanya is Krishna with the love of Radha. This was the first meeting of these two most glorious lovers from the spiritual world in this incarnation. They were beside themselves in ecstasy of love, spiritual love. Meanwhile, these Brahmins, they did not understand what is bhakti. They were thinking, what's happening? We've never seen anything like this. Why is this sannyasi crying and trembling in ecstasy upon embracing a sudra? And why is Ramananda Rai, who's a big government agent, in so much ecstasy, embracing a sannyasi? What is it? They were really confused. Now, great personalities do not exhibit ecstatic symptoms before people who cannot understand them. The tendency is to do so just to attract followers or to show people the greatness of our own love. But the acharyas teach us that our love for Krishna, like a chaste lady, she doesn't reveal the innermost secrets of her beauty, to anyone except the Lord himself. The beauty of our love. But sometimes for Lord Chaitanya, it was just like a volcano trying to keep down in the mountain when it was erupting. So they remained calm. Somehow they forced themselves. And Lord Chaitanya said to Ramananda Rai, Sarvabhauma is so kind to me that knowing how much I need your association, he sent me to meet you. Ramananda Rai said, No, it's Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's mercy to me. You are the Supreme Lord Krishna. And because of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's love, only you have come just to deliver me and show me your mercy. And this way they were talking. They decided in the evening they would meet alone where they could fully reveal their hearts. Ramananda Rai said to Lord Chaitanya, he said, just at the sight of you, look at all these smarta Brahmins and everyone else. Their eyes are flooded with tears and their limbs are trembling and they're all chanting the names of Krishna in ecstatic love of God just by seeing you. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, it's because they're seeing you that they're like this. Devotees, the higher the platform of devotee you become, the less you want to take any credit for anything. It's really puna puna charavata charavananam. It's just chewing the chewed of the chewed of the chewed. We've spit it out. We've tasted it. We've taken credit for stuff. It's just not pleasurable to the heart. But as we develop love for Krishna, our joy is giving credit to others. And we see in the prayers of great souls, they give all, whatever great things they do, they give the credit to someone else. To their guru, to the Vaishnavas, to their disciples, to Krishna. Everyone except me. That is a devotee. There's ecstasy in that. Feeling the need to take credit for oneself just burns the heart. And the more it gets, the more it needs. And when it doesn't get it, it's really frustrated. Real detachment is tasting the sweetness of giving. That is detachment. Those meetings on the banks of the Godavari River are great history within our sampradaya and to the whole world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Sri Ramananda Rai, tell me some verses describing the ultimate perfection of life. Ramananda Rai said, to worship Lord Krishna according to one's social and occupational duties and one's varna and ashram is the perfection of life. He quoted Vishnu Purana. Lord Chaitanya said, that is external. Tell me something more. He said, to offer everything to Krishna. Yat karoshi yat asnashi yaj tuhoshi datasi yat yat tapasi sikonti yat tat kuru shwamadarapanam. The Gita tells, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, all austerities you perform, everything should be done as an offering to me with your body, your mind, your words, your life. That is the perfection. Lord Chaitanya said, that is external. Tell me something more. He said, to surrender to Krishna and abandon all varieties of religion. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayi sachima sucha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that is good, but I want to know more. He said, devotional service mixed with empiric knowledge is the ultimate perfection. Brahma bhuta prasannatma nasochati nakankshati samasarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. Lord Chaitanya said, that is external. Tell me something more. And he said, pure devotional service, unmixed with any desire for mystic yoga siddhis, with any desire for any worldly or even heavenly pleasures, even unmixed with the empiric philosophical speculation with the aim for liberation, pure unalloyed devotion, simply for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is the ultimate perfection of life. Lord Chaitanya said, that is good. Now tell me more. He said, love of God in the mood of a servant, a pure unalloyed servant, willing to carry out the order as one's very life and soul. That is the perfection of life. The Lord said, but I think you know something more. He said, ecstatic love of God in the mood of a friend, where one actually feels oneself equal to the Lord. Like Sri Dama, who would play games with Krishna, and when Krishna would lose the game to Sri Dama, Krishna had to carry Sri Dama on his shoulders just to show everyone that I lost and he won. Ecstatic love in a mood of friendship, sakyaras, is the perfection of life. He said, very good, but go even deeper. Vatsalya Ras. Loving God, Krishna, as a mother or father loves a child, not even remembering that he's the Supreme Lord at all. Yashoda Mai, she would worry about Krishna day and night. She would feed Krishna the milk from her own breast, thinking, if I don't nourish Krishna, he will get sick. He may even die. And when Krishna was naughty, she bound him with a rope, the rope of her love. That is the perfection of life. Yes, Lord Chaitanya said. Tell me more. Madhurya Ras. Loving God as an intimate lover. Totally on the spiritual platform. The completely liberated state where there is no ego. Where we realize we are not this physical body. The love of the eternal pure soul for the supreme soul, God, in the mood of a lover. Like the gopis. Their love for Krishna was so great. They abandoned everything for him, just to give him pleasure. They would dress for him. They would dance for him. They would sing for him. And Krishna said, even in an entire lifetime of Brahma, with all I have, I could never repay you for this love. The conjugal Madhurya Lila, the love of the gopis for Krishna, is the ultimate perfection. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy. He said, that is very good, but I think there is something more that you have to tell me. Ramananda Rai was stunned. He said, no one could possibly ask for anything higher than that. But still, since you asked, I will tell you. Of all the gopis who were dancing with Krishna during the Rasa Lila, there was one gopi whose love was so strong, so great, so deep, and so intimate that Krishna left all the other gopis just to be, to exchange love with this one gopi. The Ladini Shakti. The supreme origin of all ecstatic love for God. The love of Srimati Radharani. That is the ultimate revelation of spiritual love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, now I am satisfied. Tell me the nature of this love. And Srila Ramananda Rai discussed with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu throughout the entire night on the banks of the Godavari River the loving pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. He discussed the tattva, the spiritual philosophical principle of who is Radha and who is Krishna. The supreme enjoyer and his pleasure potency. The nature of the beautiful forms of Radha and Krishna that are eternally existing in the spiritual world. And he described the intimacy of the loving exchanges between Radha and Krishna. And how the ultimate perfection of life is just to assist Radha and Krishna in the ecstasy of their love for each other. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, when a creeper winds around a tree, the little flowers or manjaris on that creeper, they are being nourished intimately. In the same way, when Radha and Krishna are engaged in their loving pastimes, those who are assisting Srimati Radharani are like those little flowers. And all the love that she has for Krishna and all the love that Krishna has for her is being profusely infused within each little flower. There is no higher ecstasy. There is no higher pleasure. In fact, the little flowers are enjoying even more than Radha and Krishna are. How is that possible? It's not possible. But Radharani's love can make the impossible possible. Just to give us the highest experience of love. For many nights, all night long, they were discussing on the banks of Godavari. And through this discussion revealed systematically the various stages of spiritual perfection and its culmination. Kaviraj Goswami explains that Lord Chaitanya was like the shoreless, fathomless ocean of rasa and conclusive truths. Mahabhava. The ultimate bhava or spiritual love. And Ramananda Rai was like a cloud. And by the Lord's own arrangement, the cloud takes water from the ocean and then rains that water on the ocean. Lord Chaitanya was giving him all of this great knowledge and realization, and then by the Lord's arrangement, he was giving it back to the Lord. And the Lord was so grateful. He said, "You have saved me. You have given me the highest truths and the greatest pleasure. I thank Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya so much for sending me to you." Ramananda Rai, he said, "I am like a stringed instrument. My tongue. And you are like the musician who is making all the sounds come out." And Lord Chaitanya said, no, I'm just a Mayavadi sannyasi floating in the ocean of Mayavad philosophy. And you have come to enlighten me with Bhakti Ras." After such beautiful meetings on the banks of Godavari and Kovur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invited Ramananda Rai to give up his government service and come to reside in Jagannath Puri. He said, "There, we will discuss Krishna for the rest of our lives." After taking leave, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to a temple of Hanuman and worshipped him. That temple is still there. In fact, the exact place where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai had this meeting, where they spoke every night, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had established footprints of Lord Gauranga just there. Some years ago, on our yatra, we went to that place. And with Mahaprabhu's grace, we will go again. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled in the southern direction. At one time, some people wanted to try to defeat him. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very compassionately, through powerful philosophy, logic, and scriptural evidence and realization, he defeated their arguments. So the leader of the group decided he must die. So they brought this big, heavy metal plate covered with food and said to the Lord, "This is Mahaprasad we have brought to you. Since you have defeated us, we want to express our appreciation by giving you this Mahaprasad." What they didn't tell him it was highly poisoned for the purpose of killing him. It was contaminated food. At that point, a big bird appeared in the sky and grabbed the plate and went high up into the sky, and all the contaminated food fell on all of these people's heads. And then from way up in the sky, that bird aimed very carefully, dropped the plate, came down, right into their leader's head. He fell to the ground dead. All his followers ran up to him and, you know, he's dead, he's dead. They understood that Lord Chaitanya is a mystic. So they ran to him, our guru's dead, please save him, save him. Lord Chaitanya said, chant the names of Hari into his ears. So they gathered around him in desperation, and they were all going, putting their mouths as close as to his ears as possible, and they were screaming out the holy names. Then the leader rose from the dead. He came alive. He started dancing, chanting the holy names. By the Lord's divine compassion and inconceivable sense of humor, he had the disciples initiate the guru by saying the name in his ears. And like the guru gives us our spiritual life back, they gave his life back. And Lord Chaitanya just disappeared. He left. They were all looking for him. In this way, he visited so many places, temples of Shiva, temples of Kartikeya, temples of Devi, temples of Vishnu, temples of Ram, and seeing everything in relationship to the Supreme Lord. He wasn't worshiping demigods in a misinformed way. He was teaching us that the devas are eternally servants of the Supreme, and we honor them because of that. Never to disrespect anyone. And eventually in his travels, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Sri Rangakshetra. In great ecstatic love, he bathed in the holy river, Kaveri. And from the river, he entered into the temple of Sri Ranganath Swami. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu repeatedly offered his obeisances and his prayers to Lord Ranganath in great happiness. Then he began Sankirtan, chanting the holy names of the Lord in front of Sri Ranganath Swami. He danced. And because this is the capital of Sri Vaishnavism for the whole of South India, none different than Vaikuntha, such a holy place, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting and dancing in ecstatic love, literally hundreds and thousands of people gathered around him to see him, to hear him. And that flood of ecstatic love that was pouring from his heart, it drowned everyone. Soon all these hundreds and thousands of people right here where we are sitting and all around the area, they had their arms raised, tears pouring from their eyes, chanting the Lord's holy name. After the kirtan, one great Brahmin, who was one of the pujari priests for Sri Ranganath Swami, coming in through from an ancient line of saintly pure souls, he approached Lord Chaitanya. His name, Venkata Bhatta. He fell at the feet of this great and beautiful golden sannyasi and appealed to him, "Please come to my home. Bless my home and honor our prasad." He asked with such devotion that Lord Chaitanya accepted. He came to his home. Venkata Bhatta's whole family was gathered together. There were three brothers, Trimala Bhatta, Venkata Bhatta, and Sri Prabodhananda Saraswati. They washed. Venkata Bhatta washed Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. And with great enthusiasm and immense gratitude, he drank some of that water, then distributed it to all of his family members. And they all drank it with great relish, especially his son, a boy. His name was Gopal Bhatta. When he saw the beauty of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his heart was captivated. And when he drank the holy water that had washed the lotus feet of the Lord, that little boy became totally intoxicated with ecstatic love. He started crying, and manifestations and transformations of the perfection of life were manifesting on him. Venkata Bhatta, with folded palms, deep humility, said to Lord Chaitanya, "The Chaturmasya, rainy season, has just begun. It is appropriate for sannyasis to stay in one place for the 4 months of the rainy season. We beg you from our hearts, please remain the next 4 months in our home here in Rangakshetra and do not go anywhere else." The Lord is bound by the love of his devotee. He accepted. And for the next 4 months, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained here in Rangakshetra. Every day, along with Trimala Bhatta, Venkata Bhatta, Prabodhananda Saraswati, and little Gopal, Lord Chaitanya would bathe in the river Kaveri, and every day they would come to the temple of Ranganath Swami. They would have Krishna Katha, Krishna Kirtan, Krishna Seva. It was beautiful. Here in the temple, Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, there was one Brahmin who would sit to read the 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita every day. But because he was more or less illiterate, he was not pronouncing it properly. Now, Rangakshetra is a high seat of learning for the greatest scholars in all the world. So in that same area in the temple, the great pundits would assemble. And for many, Sanskrit, its beauty and its power is in perfect pronunciation. They would hear him messing up all the words. Sometimes they would laugh at him. Other times they would ridicule him. And then again, they would criticize him. What is he doing among us? But the Brahmin did not care. He just went on reading every day the 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. But as he was reading, symptoms of ecstatic love of God were manifesting on him. But the common people and even the great pundits could not recognize that. One day Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu happened to come and saw him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, the Bhagavad Gita says, Vedaishta sarveraham eva vedo vedanta kirit veda vedeva chaham. Krishna says, I am the compiler of the Vedas. I am the knower of the Vedanta. And by all the Vedas, the ultimate goal is to know me. Although he was pronouncing things all wrong, he attracted the attention of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya came up to him very respectfully. He said, what part of Bhagavad Gita is bringing you such spiritual happiness? He said, actually, I don't understand what I'm saying. I'm just reciting. He said, because I am illiterate, I don't understand the words. In fact, sometimes I say them right and sometimes I say them wrong, and I do not even know the difference. Lord Chaitanya said, well, what is bringing you such love when you're reading? He said, because as I'm reading, I just see one thing. I see Krishna, who has a beautiful body that is blackish like a newly formed monsoon rain cloud. He is Shamsundar. And he's sitting on the chariot of Arjuna in the role of his devotee's charioteer, holding in his hands the reins to the horses. And sitting on that chariot, that beautiful blackish form of the Lord, whose eyes are like lotus flowers, is speaking the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. I am so enchanted, so totally entranced by the beauty and the love of the Lord. That's all I see. That's all I think. As I'm trying to read the Gita every day. People are criticizing me. They're laughing at me. But my guru has ordered me to read all 18 chapters every single day in this place, so I'm simply trying to carry out his order.
Yasya Devi Parabhaktir. There's a beautiful verse in Upanishads.
One who has implicit faith in Guru and Krishna, all the imports of the Vedas are automatically revealed from within. Lord Chaitanya was so satisfied with him. Even at the expense of being criticized, laughed at, even though by material standards he had no way to properly execute the order, still he had faith in the words of his guru. that all perfection will come if I just do what he says. And because of that faith, he was experiencing ecstatic love. When Lord Chaitanya heard these things, in great happiness, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to that illiterate Brahman, "You are a true authority of Sri Bhagavad Gita. You have perfectly understood the conclusive purport of Bhagavad Gita." The Brahman said to Lord Chaitanya, "As I'm reading, there's nothing that could possibly divert my mind from remembering Krishna." This is the conclusion. Man manabhava madbhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru mamaiveshashim shatyam te pratijani priyoshime. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me without fail. This is my promise. Lord Chaitanya revealed to the world for all time to come through this illiterate Brahman that if one simply has faith to execute the order of the Guru with a simple and humble heart, Krishna's mercy comes upon him. And what is that mercy? To always remember Krishna with love. That is the perfection of the Gita. That is the essence of the Vedas. That is the ultimate goal of life. To always remember Krishna with love. Lord Chaitanya taught that all the scriptures of all the worlds, with all its philosophy, all its stories, all its logic, all its history, it's all meant to bring us to accept two instructions. To always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased with this Brahman that he embraced him. And upon being embraced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Brahman attained the highest level of spiritual love. And he fell down at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet and said, "While I'm reading Gita all day, I'm seeing Krishna, but now I am seeing that you are Krishna. You are Krishna. You have come to me and you've embraced me. And now the ecstasy of my love in seeing you is even twice as much as ever before." Lord Chaitanya told him, "Don't tell anybody that I'm Krishna." "We will never be separated." And for the next 4 months, that illiterate Brahman, the Lord accepted him to be in his constant association. Lord Chaitanya was very deeply impressed by Venkatabhata's pure love and devotion for the form of Lakshmi Narayan. He was so happy to stay in his house and every day see how the whole family was engrossed, immersed in the loving service of Lakshmi Narayan. They became such intimate friends, Venkatabhata and Lord Chaitanya, that they would talk together. They would discuss Krishna, Narayan together. They would joke together practically all day and all night. So one day, in a very joking mood, Lord Chaitanya said to Venkatabhata that Narayan is the supreme personality of Godhead, but Krishna's pastimes are even more sweet. And Venkatabhatta said, yes, that is true. That Krishna and Narayana are the same supreme person, but Krishna's loving exchanges with his devotees are very, very sweet. But still, they are one. They are the same. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, then I want to ask you something. Why is it that Lakshmi Devi left Vaikuntha in order to experience the beauty and the charms of Krishna during his Rasalila? Lakshmi Devi, who is the supreme most chaste of all women, she left Narayan and Vaikuntha to be with Krishna. Venkatabhatta said, but there is no flaw in her perfect chastity because Narayan and Krishna are the same. They are the same one person. She's not unchaste. She's perfectly chaste. She simply wanted to experience the sweetness and the ecstasies of Krishna's loving, spontaneous pastimes. Lord Chaitanya said, then why is it that Lakshmi was not allowed to enter into the Rasalila? I know that she's perfectly chaste and they are the same one supreme person. But why is it that she could not enter into the Rasalila? But the Shrutiganas, the great students of the Vedas, they were allowed to enter into the Rasalila and dance with Krishna, but Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, was not allowed to do so. Can you explain? Lord Chaitanya quoted from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Nagapatnis, the wives of Kaliya, they were praying to Krishna. They said, our husband is so fortunate that your lotus feet are dancing upon his head. Those lotus feet that are so precious that even Lakshmi is trying to get the dust of those lotus feet. At Belvan or Srivan, across the river from where the Bamsivat is, where Rasalila took place, Lakshmi Devi sat there performing penance to enter into the Rasalila, but she could not. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking why. Venkatabhatta said, these mysteries are so deep that I'm just an ordinary man. I cannot understand these things. Lord Chaitanya said, I will tell you. Because the only way one can enter into the mysterious, intimate pastimes of Vrindavan with Krishna and enter into Rasalila is one must follow in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan. What does it mean to follow in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan? Their love for Krishna is so deep and so sweet that they do not acknowledge that he's the Supreme Lord of all existence. They just see him as Nanda Nandana, the son of Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Nandana, the little child of Yashoda. They love him because he's Krishna. He's Gopinath. He's not God. When Krishna's in a difficult situation, they pray to Narayan to save him. They understand Narayan is God. But their love for Krishna is beyond. They love him simply because he's Krishna. And because the idea that he's God is completely eclipsed by the intimacy, their love is spontaneous and free. And this gives the greatest satisfaction to Krishna, this type of love. Lord Chaitanya said once Krishna, near Govardhan Hill, was hiding from gopis. And they were searching for him. He was sitting in one place and they happened to find him. So just as they were approaching, Krishna assumed the form of the forearm feature of Narayan. And the gopis saw that he's the Supreme Lord. They bowed down with great reverence and asked Narayan, please tell me, where is Krishna? Where did Krishna go? We were looking for Krishna. They couldn't enjoy that free love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Narayan. Not the love with Krishna, who they just thought was his, their lover. Understanding, Ramananda Rai explained to Lord Chaitanya that each of the rasas, Dasya Ras, servitude, Sakya Ras, friendship, Vatsalya Ras, parental love for Krishna, and Madhurya Ras, the love between lover and lovers. Each higher mellow includes completely all of the previous ones. So the love of the gopis fully includes parental love, friendship love, servant love, and also fully includes love and neutrality. Understanding that he is the supreme power of all powers, the intelligence of the intelligence, the ability in man, the strength of the strong, whose mere exhalation creates all material universes, whose mere inhalation wraps it all up, whose glance impregnates the cosmic manifestation with all living beings, who is the supreme controller of all controller. The gopis are fully, absolutely realized in all these things. They know that Krishna is God, the absolute truth. But the intimacy and the sweetness of their love is so strong that all those realizations are totally covered to facilitate the freest, most beautiful love of Mahabhava relationships. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that the Shruti Ganas, the great authorities of Vedas, they wanted to love Krishna like a gopi. So they followed in the footsteps of the gopis. They prayed. They studied the gopis. And in this way, through their sadhana, they pleased the Lord so much that they gave up their bodies as Shrutiganas, great scholars, and took birth in Vrindavan as gopis. And there in Gokula Vrindavan, they were the students of the gopis. They were the assistants of the gopis. And by doing this, they actually were given entrance into the Rasalila. But Lord Chaitanya said, Lakshmi, she was not willing to give up her understanding that Krishna is the supreme God of all gods, the master of all existence. She's the supreme goddess of fortune. The gopis milk cows. They pick up the dung of the cows and make them into patties and put them on their head in baskets and carry them. This is the life of a gopi. Lakshmi, her conception of God is opulence, great, majestic. She was not able to follow in the footsteps of the gopis of Sri Brajbhumi. Venkata Bhatta said, these are very high topics. These are very, very high topics. And Lord Chaitanya saw that he was getting a little confused. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu concluded this incredible conversation right here in Rangakshetra by saying, actually, Venkata Bhatta, I'm only joking with you. we're such best friends that we're just joking together. Don't be disturbed. Don't be confused. Because the fact is that Narayan and Krishna are exactly the same one supreme person. But Krishna has, say, four qualities that Narayan doesn't have. The intimacy and the freedom of his loving pastimes with his devotees. His leela. His relationship with the gopis. The sweet playing of his flute, which attracts and enchants all existence. And his personal beauty. When he stands in his threefold feminine form, playing upon his flute. But still, they are the one supreme person. And not only that, but the gopis and the goddess of fortune are the same one supreme person. So there's no difference. In fact, it is offensive to differentiate between the goddess of fortune and Srimati Radharani. It is offensive to differentiate between Narayan and Krishna. After all, Venkatabhata, it's the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, that's enjoying the conjugal love affairs with Krishna through the gopis. And Srila Prabhupada explains, he elaborates, it's actually offensive to see a difference between the Lord. It's the same one Lord. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes on to explain that the Lord is so loving and kind that he appears in different ways according to his particular devotee's mood of love. To Lakshmi, he appears as Narayan. To the gopis, he appears as Krishna, because that is the nature of their love, that they are one and the same. Venkatabhata, he said, these are very high topics. I only know one thing. You are Krishna. And by the grace of Lakshmi Narayan, now I can understand how to worship them as Radha and Krishna. And I can understand who you are, Krishna. In Kavur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to Ramananda Rai his ecstatic form of Radha and Krishna. Ramananda Rai, he said to Lord Chaitanya, he said, first I'm seeing you as a sannyasi in saffron robes. And now I'm seeing you as Krishna. Complexion like a monsoon cloud playing on a flute. And now I'm seeing a beautiful golden doll in the form of Srimati Radharani. And I'm seeing Srimati Radharani entering deep into the very core of your heart. Krishna entering deep into the core of Srimati Radharani's heart. You are Krishna, who has come to taste the sweetness of Srimati Radharani's love and to share it with the world, this most inner secret, through the congregational chanting of the holy name. Lord Chaitanya revealed to Venkatabhata and his brothers these highest perfections. During these 4 months, little Gopal was so spontaneously attracted to serve Lord Chaitanya. And Venkatabhata, his father, and his two uncles, they encouraged him with all of their hearts to just stay with Lord Chaitanya and do every little service for him. Gopal was Lord Chaitanya's almost constant companion. Just happy and grateful for any service, little services. He was totally attached to the Lord. One day, little Gopal was tormented with a pain in his heart. He was thinking, why do I have to see my Lord Gauranga as a sannyasi, performing chaturmasya, doing all sorts of austerities? Why can't I see him as the Lord of Navadvip, with his long, curling hairs covering his shoulders, dressed in jewels, with his goddess of fortune, Vishnupriya, wearing beautiful golden silks? This is breaking my heart to see the Lord like this. He's Krishna. I want to see him with Radharani. I don't want to see him performing tapasya, eating chaturmasya food, with a shaved head. He would cry. His heart was burning. He was thinking, why did I have to take birth in such a faraway place at the wrong time that I couldn't see the Lord as Navadvip Chandra? Why is providence so cruel to me? Then Venkatabhata forgave providence and came to the conclusion, it's all my own fault due to my unfortunate condition. Although these emotions were deep in his heart, he hid them. He didn't tell anyone anything. And he went on performing his loving menial services to the Lord day and night. But Lord Chaitanya, who is seated within the heart of every living being, knows everyone's devotional feelings and everything else. Gopal Bhatta took rest. When he fell asleep, he had a dream. Are all of you still awake? Are any of you having a dream? In case anyone is, please loudly chant Hari Bol.
Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
Gopal had a dream. In that dream, he was in Navadvip Dham. And Lord Gauranga was walking down the street with Gopal at his side. He was in ecstasy. There was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Gauranga, with beautiful, beautiful, long, curling hair. And everything he envisioned, he prayed to see. He was seeing the Lord as Navadvip Chandra, the supreme enjoyer. He was walking together with him. Then Lord Nityananda and Sri Advaitacharya, they lovingly embraced Gopal and were about to tell him a very special secret. But as they started to talk, he woke up. Everything was gone. He was in such a state of ecstatic tumult in his heart and in his mind, he had to run to find Lord Chaitanya in his home. And Lord Chaitanya was there waiting for him. Gopal ran up to him. And he saw this beautiful form of a golden sannyasi transform right before his eyes into Krishna. His eyes were like fully blossomed lotus petals. His complexion was like the tamal tree. His lips were bright and red like a freshly cut bimba fruit. His cheeks appeared like two full moons. His neck swirled with three lines like a conch shell. His beautiful blackish hair was cascading, curling around his lovely moon-like face. His nose was like a freshly blossomed sesame flower. He had a peacock feather on top of his head. He was garlanded with fragrant flowers. He stood with threefold bending form. His clothes were bright like lightning. There was a garland of wild forest flowers from the Vrindavan forest that went from his neck down below his knees, his palms and his feet. The inner parts were so delicately pink, like a lotus. His teeth were like rows of pearls. Seeing the form of Gopinath, Shyamasundar, little Gopal was in ecstasy. Suddenly, that form of Shyamasundar transformed right before Gopal's eyes into Lord Gauranga of Navadvip. His golden complexion, his hair, bright black, each strand like the finest silk and beyond, was cascading over his broad golden shoulders. He had a garland of malati flowers. He had beautiful dress and fine jewels. The form of Lord Gauranga completely enchanted Gopal's mind and his heart. And the way he was moving, as if every step was a dance, as if every word was a song. All of Gopal's desires were completely fulfilled. In ecstasy, the very object of his innermost meditation, Lord Gauranga of Navadvip, was before him. Gopal fell down and clasped the feet of Lord Chaitanya. Then he looked up, expecting to see that same form again. But there was Lord Chaitanya, as a sannyasi, in drab saffron clothes, a shaved head. Gopal looked up at him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Gopal at that moment. "You are very dear to me." He said, "You remain at home and you take care of your mother and father. They are most dear to my heart. And after they pass away from this world, you go to Vrindavan. And there in Vrindavan, you will be united with the two most precious jewels in all of humanity. Sri Rupa Goswami and Sri Sanatana Goswami. You remain the rest of your life in Vrindavan with them. Chanting, dancing, speaking about Krishna, revealing to the world the books of transcendental literature. There in Vrindavan, you will attract thousands of followers to be your disciples, and you will give them the highest treasure of love of God with Rupa and Sanatana. Until then, you study the scriptures by your uncle, Prabodhananda Saraswati. And we will always be together. Then Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu took Gopal and put him on his lap and embraced him. And out of love, out of pure love for Gopal, Lord Chaitanya wept so many tears. He literally soaked the clothes and the whole body. He performed Abhishekam for his own devotees with the tears of his love. And he told Gopal, "Do not reveal to anyone what you have seen." In this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained for the 4 months of Chaturmasya here at Sri Rangam. Every day bathing in Kaveri River and coming to dance in front of the beautiful form of Ranganath and distribute prema bhakti to everyone and anyone who would accept. Patrimalabhata, Prabodhananda Saraswati and their eldest brother, Venkatabhata, they were feeling with every day that the Chaturmasya was going to end. They were talking among themselves, how are we going to live when the Lord leaves us? He has stolen our hearts. No more going with Lord Gauranga to the Kaveri. No more dancing and singing with him. No more talking about Krishna all day and night with him. What will we do? And little Gopal was so much absorbed in these thoughts. At the end of the rainy season, it was time for the Lord to leave. The residents of Sri Rangam were so much captivated by the love and charm of Lord Chaitanya. Every day, a different family would invite him to their home. And every single day in the afternoon, Lord Chaitanya would go to a different Brahmin's house. Last night when we were doing Harinam Sankirtan, how many of you attended this kirtan? The same houses that we were passing, Lord Chaitanya was taking lunch prasad in most all those houses. There's 30 days in a month. 4 months. How many days is that? Mahaprabhu went to at least 120 houses to eat prasad. The same houses we were going into, the same houses we were chanting before, and those great pundits and pujaris, sevites of Ranganath who were coming out, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking prasad from the hands of their forefathers and foremothers. And it said so many people were inviting him that he couldn't possibly go to all of their houses because the rainy season ended. As Lord Chaitanya departed, all the residents of Sri Rangakshetra were bowing down with the love of their hearts. And Venkata Bhatta and his family, it was just unbearable to them. The Lord was leaving. And they knew that physically they would never see him again. Try to understand this kind of separation. They understood he was Krishna. He was their worshipable object of love. They understood they would never see him again. He was going back to Puri after his South Indian tour. So what was their emotions as he was leaving? Venkata Bhatta left his house, decided, I'm going with you, that's all. He walked a distance with Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya sent him back. You are a pujari, you have your seva to Ranganath Swami. I am that Ranganath Swami. You will see me in Ranganath Swami. Go back, take care of your family, and perform your puja. With a heavy heart, as Lord Chaitanya left, Trimala Bhatta, Prabodhananda Saraswati, Venkata Bhatta, and Gopal, they all fell unconscious. That was the only way the Lord could leave. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came before Sri Ranganath Swami, worshipped him with all of his love and all of his heart, received his permission to leave, got the Mahaprasad, the Charanamrita, and the garlands of Ranganath Swami, and carried on with the South Indian tour. The next place he went to Rishab Hill, where he met with Paramananda Puri, the great disciple of Sri Madhavendra Puri, godbrother of Mahaprabhu's own guru. They stayed together at a Brahmin's house for several days, talking about Krishna day and night. And Lord Chaitanya asked Paramananda Puri to come to Jagannath Puri to make his residence. This is the love of the devotees. The devotees for each other and the love for the devotees for the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued on his South Indian tour and eventually came back to Puri. From Puri, he went to Vrindavan. He had other excursions to various parts of Bengal. And years passed. Venkata Bhatta, actually, Venkata Bhatta encouraged his son so much, along with his wife. And little Gopal became the greatest scholar of all scholars. Prabodhananda Saraswati was teaching him the scriptures and all of the various elements of the scriptures. From the mechanics of grammar and Sanskrit, to the philosophies, to the highest innermost secrets of rasa and bhava. Gopal Bhatta, as he grew up, his eyes were like lotus flowers. His body was golden like a champak flower. Although he became such a profound learned scholar, he could speak from the scriptures in such a way that would convince anybody's mind and mesmerize people's hearts. There was no one like him. And yet, with such obedience, humility, and total dedication, he took care of every single need of his aging parents. Vaishnav Seva. One time a Brahmin came to Venkatabhata and was praising the glories of Venkatabhata's child Gopal. And that gave Venkatabhata the greatest happiness. He's totally absorbed in Krishna. Venkatabhata says not even for a moment can he forget Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who revealed everything to him. His heart is the abode of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what a diligent student and disciple of Prabodhananda Saraswati, his uncle, and what a faithful son he is to me, myself and my wife. On every level, socially, academically, spiritually, devotionally, Gopal Bhatta was the example. Perfect example. In their old age, Venkatabhata and his wife blessed little Gopal, who is now bigger. They blessed Gopal Bhatta on the instruction of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. When we leave this world, we give you all our heartfelt blessings to go to Vrindavan. And then chanting the names of Mahaprabhu, Venkatabhata and his wife departed from this world to return to the highest planet of Vaikuntha's Goloka Vrindavan. And Gopal Bhatta went to Vrindavan. In Jagannath Puri, one day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left his house, the Gambira, in the residence of Kashi Mishra, and went to the Tota Gopinath temple, where every day he would meet with Gadadhar Pandit and the other devotees. The Bhakti Ratnakar explains the love between all the devotees for each other. Indescribable the exchanges of friendship and affection between Gadadhar Pandit and Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, Srivas Prabhu, Haridas Thakur, and all others. Because when we love God, we love each other. And when we love each other, God accepts our love, not otherwise. That is the spiritual world. And that could be manifested in this world if we understand these truths and live by them. One day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting with Gadadhar and Nityananda Prabhu and several of his other associates at the Gopinath temple. And the Lord said, "It has been a long time since I have heard anything from the devotees in Vrindavan. Rup Sanatan, Raghunath Das Goswami, they haven't written to me in a long time." And he said to someone, "I will write them a letter." And just when he was about to write a letter to them, a messenger came and said, "I have brought by foot all the way from Vrindavan a letter to you from Rupa and Sanatana Goswami." With great happiness, he read the letter. Rupa and Sanatana wrote that we are happily engaged in serving you according to your instructions. And we are very happy to inform you that Gopal Bhatta has come from South India to join us. And now we are like brothers with love and affection for each other, hearing and chanting and establishing holy places and writing books. Lord Chaitanya was so happy. He started telling all his devotees in Puri the glories of Gopal Bhatta Goswami and the beautiful pastimes he shared with him in Rangakshetra during his South Indian tour. And Lord Chaitanya sent gifts to the Goswamis with that messenger. To Gopal Bhatta Goswami, the Lord gave his own wooden shoes, padukas. And he gave his own kamandalu, sannyasi water pot. And he gave his own kopan, loincloth. He sent them to Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and Gopal Bhatta Goswami worshipped them. And even to this day, on the altar of Sri Radha Raman Temple, are these gifts that the Lord sent. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so infinitely pleased to see his devotees working and serving together with such affection. Gopal Bhatta Goswami was helping Rupa Goswami in his service to Radha Govinda Dev. It is explaining that the love of Gopal Bhatta Goswami's heart was so much towards Sanatan Goswami, who was the eldest of the Goswamis. And the intimacy of his friendship with Rupa Goswami was indescribable. He would assist with the service of Radha Govinda Dev. But Lord Chaitanya had another plan. He instructed Gopal Bhatta Goswami to worship the Shalagram Shila. Rupa Goswami told him, it is the Lord's desire that you worship Shalagram Shila, but you will see Govinda Dev in that Shalagram Shila. One day, some wealthy devotees were coming to Vrindavan because Narasingha Chaturdasi was coming soon. So he was giving crowns and flutes, ornamentations and dresses to the deities of the Goswamis. Madan Mohan, Radha Govinda Dev. Gopal Bhatta Goswami was thinking, just on the day of Narasingha Chaturdasi, that I would like to also offer you flutes and crowns, but as a Shila, there's little I can offer you. Just as you came out of a stone pillar for your devotee Prahlad, please manifest out of this stone Shalagram Shila your transcendental threefold bending form. And the next day, early in the morning, Gopal Bhatta Goswami went to Yamuna to bathe and came back with water. And he saw his Damodar Shalagram Shila had manifested the beautiful threefold bending form of the Lord. He called Rupan Sanatan and Raghunath Das and all the Goswamis, Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami. They all came to meet Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami. They all assembled. And when they saw this deity, they all had the same conclusion. His face is identical to Radha Govinda. His hands playing the flute and his chest is identical to Radha Gopinath. And his lotus feet are identical to Radha Madan Mohan. Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. The three deities of our Gaudiya Sampradaya. And they realized all these three deities were so eager to be served by Gopal Bhatta Goswami, they all came in one form. And because The Murti manifested miraculously near Nidiban, the place where Krishna enjoys Srimati Radharani. Rupa Goswami named the deities, along with Gopal Bhatta and the others, Sri Radha Raman. Sri Radha Raman Dev Ki Jai. Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami Ki Jai. How he worshipped Sri Radha Raman with his heart, his soul. Our acharyas tell us his friendship with Rupa and Sanatan was so deep, and his constant meditation was the service of Radha Raman. One day, as Gopal Bhatta Goswami was worshipping Sri Radha Raman, he was remembering Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He was remembering in Rangakshetra how he would personally serve the body of Lord Gauranga. And he was feeling such separation as he was doing his puja to Sri Radharaman. At that moment, the murti of Sri Radharaman, right while he was touching with his hands and seeing with his eyes, that murti manifested into Lord Chaitanya. With his arms raised and his beautiful lotus eyes gazing upon Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and through that gaze telling him that I am Sri Radha Raman. And whatever worship and loving service you offer to Radharaman is none different than your loving service to me. Then Lord Gauranga again became Sri Radharaman, that beautiful little shalagram form playing upon his flute, smile upon his lips, and gaze of his lotus-like loving eyes. In this way, Gopal Bhatta Goswami spent his days in Sri Vrindavan Dham as one of the six Goswamis. His birthplace is where we are now. Venkata Bhatta, Trimala Bhatta, they remain pujaris for Ranganath Swami. They were acharyas of the Sri Sampradaya, as they had ecstatic love for Lord Chaitanya and Radha and Krishna. So it is so beautiful that we have come to Sri Rangam, and the devotees of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, all 5,000 of us, have been received with so much love, so much graciousness. Murli Bhatta, Lakshmi Narasingha Bhatta, our descendants, Lakshmi Narasingha Bhatta, who was dancing and singing with us the whole Nam Kirtan last night, he is a descendant of Kuresh. In fact, he is a direct descendant of Ranganath, Krishna himself. And one of the most influential pujaris as Murli Bhatta, who's the descendant of Venkata Bhatta. How they were dancing with us and singing with us, and dancing and singing with each other as we were chanting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Mahamantra. Personally taking us. The Nam Sankirtan was supposed to only be for 1 hour. But these pujaris, these high priests, who who could go in and out of the altar any time, day and night, while everybody else has to stand in line for hours. These high priests from such sacred lineages, they were bringing us from door to door and inviting other high priests from lineages to come out and join us in kirtan. The house of Quraysh, the house of Dasarati. We went there and they were inviting the acharyas, the priests from those homes who are descendants of these great souls to come and join the kirtan and receive our simple offerings of garlands and speak some messages. Descendant of Natamuni from his house. Natamuni was the guru of Yamunacharya, who was the guru of Ramanujacharya. Yes, dozens of these pujaris from these sacred lineages were coming out. And then the GR, the senior most leading sannyasi of Sri Rangam, he came out. He knew we were coming. That day, he wrote with his own hands a speech to present to us. And in that speech, how he was glorifying Srila Prabhupada. He was telling us with great force, this man is a powerful scholar in his late 80s or 90s. He was saying in Kali Yuga, the method to achieve the perfection of pure love of God is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. He was quoting from Kali Santarana Upanishad and telling the whole story in the background of that Upanishad. How the most powerful medicine in this age of Kali is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And so gracious, so kind, he said that your Srila Prabhupada fulfilled the prophecy and the order of Ramanujacharya, that in every town and village throughout the world, the name of the Supreme Lord will be chanted. So open-hearted, so gracious, so kind. What a reception. It's beautiful. This is Vaishnavism. We may have some differences in our particular moods of worship, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu honored and adored the worship of Lakshmi Narayan that he saw in Venkatabhata. And by his mercy, he brought him to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. But then he said, certain devotees, the Lord reveals and attracts our hearts according to our nature, our spiritual nature, and to honor and respect and love those differences. Lord Chaitanya told Murari Gupta, you are a devotee of Ram, you should worship Krishna, because Krishna's pastimes are more playful and more intimate. The next day, Murari Gupta came to Lord Chaitanya and asked permission to commit suicide. He said, you are my guru and you've ordered me this way and I can't live if I'm disobeying my guru and I can't live and disobey you because you are my life and soul, but I've given my head to Ramchandra and every time I try to chant Krishna's names, then I just see Lord Rama in front of me. I've given my heart to Lord Ram. I can never take him away. Lord Chaitanya was so happy. He said, I was just testing the chastity and the purity of your love for Lord Ram. He said, blessed is that Lord who will never give up. Blessed is that devotee. Blessed is that devotee who never gives up the worship of his Lord. And blessed is that Lord who, if the devotee tries to do so, he drags him back by the hair. He said, your love for Lord Ram is chaste and it's pure, and that gives me the ultimate satisfaction. I wanted to show the world the glory of your love, because you, Murari Gupta, are Hanuman. So Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, simultaneous one and difference, applies to so many different aspects of our devotional life. The one and difference between the soul and the Supreme Soul of God. We are part and parcel, qualitatively one, quantitatively apart. We are one and different from each other. We are all emanating from the same source. Govinda. We are qualitatively identical to each other as jivatmas. But yet, we all have our unique, eternal personalities. One in difference. The relationship between ourselves and material nature. And even the understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How that Lord manifests in different ways for different people. To Dhruva Maharaj as Narayan. To Prahlad Maharaj as Narasingha. To Vasudev and Kolhapur, Koladweep, as Varaha. To Arjuna as Parthasarathi. To Bhishma as the chariot driver of Arjuna. To the gopis as the sweet lover, Rasa Bihari, the same one supreme truth. To Hanuman as Ram. It's not a question of better, worse. If we love our Lord, we will love our Lord in all forms that he may take. And if we love our Lord, we will honor, respect, appreciate, and love all the different ways our Lord is reciprocating the love with different types of devotees. This is also Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is especially opening the doors for the most intimate leelas of Vrindavan to all of us. To following in the footsteps of great souls. And like that illiterate Brahmin who is sitting where we're sitting today, he humbly took the instructions of his guru very seriously. And with that faith, the highest revelations were revealed to him. This is the spirit that we pray to cry out from the core of our hearts, Sri Sri Radha Krishna's holy names. Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of Radha, what he was seeing when he was seeing Sri Ranganath laying down in the bed of Anantashesha, that is something very, very deep, very profound. And all those mysteries, the Lord wants to share with us. We simply give us if we simply follow the path of bhakti with sincerity, as the servant of the servant of the servant. I received a message this morning that His Holiness Jaipatak Swami Maharaj is in Australia, and he has a very, very severe infection. So all of us, if you remember when he was struck by a stroke some years ago, we dedicated our yatra to his recovery. And now let us all very sincerely pray for his good health, for Krishna to bestow his mercy upon all of us and all the world by restoring his health. And for Lakshmi Moni Devi, who also had a minor stroke, let us pray together for her good health. And to His Holiness Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Maharaj, that great spiritual teacher who spread bhakti throughout the world, who passed away a couple days ago. Let us pray to offer our gratitude. And let us pray for the blessings of the Supreme Lord, Sri Ranganath Swami, Sri Radha Gopinath, to shower upon each and every devotee, to protect them, inspire them, and fill them with their love, and empower them to serve with love. And let us pray for all humanity and all living beings, that individually and collectively we could be instruments of the infinite compassion of Sri Krishna. To fill their hearts with the priceless jewel of prema. That state beyond suffering. That state of true joy. And let us offer our sincerest, deepest, heartfelt gratitude to Shripad Ramanujacharya and his disciplic line for showering such mercy upon us through this tour of South India. And to all of our great acharyas of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya who have saved us from a lamentable existence and given us the greatest treasure. And let us, from our heart of hearts, bow our heads at the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who has come with this vast treasure house of the realizations of all the great acharyas, of all the great sampradayas, who has come with the complete mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and sacrificed everything to share it with the world in such a simple, concentrated and pleasant way. He's given us a life of chanting, dancing, and feasting in a way. Anandam buddhivardhanam, that all our innermost soul's desires will be fulfilled. Let us offer our gratitude to Srila Prabhupada and to all of his servants and the servants and the servants of his servants. And in this spirit of gratitude, love, and prayer, let us forever be united with our arms raised to fill the universe with Krishna's holy names. Let us perform Nam Sankirtan.